need to reintroduce myself. My name is
Warren. It's Warren Ballantyne.
Let me just say, I did not come here to show out. I did not come here to impress you. Because to tell you the truth, when I leave here, I'm gone. And I don't care what you think about me. But just remember, when it hits the fan, brother, whether it's next year, 10 years, 20 years from now, you'll never be able to say that these brothers lied to you, Jack.
It's the Warren Ballantyne Show.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. 919-410-7735. If you want to weigh in on what we're going to be talking about and dealing with today. It is a lot to talk about. I mean, do I start with your president going in on LeBron James? Should I start the show with that? Do I talk about what's going on in my home city in Chicago where it was so many shootings that they had to close the hospital? That's how many shootings it was. They didn't have enough room for the families of the victims. Do I talk about that? I want to give a history lesson today. I want to give a history lesson today. And I want to show you what's about to happen in this country based on understanding the past and history. Now, let me give you a prediction. I'm going to start off the show today something a little bit different. I'm going to give you a prediction. I'm predicting that if something doesn't change in the next 12 months, there will be a social war in America. And the war will be to separate the ethnic groups and separate those with education and money from those without education and money. And when I say separate, I'm not talking about the way it is now, because it's already separation between the ethnic groups and between the classes. But I'm saying where it's literally going back to separate but equal, but with a different twist this time. It won't be black, white. It will be race and class based. So it won't be just one group of ethnic minorities. And it won't be just minorities, because poor whites will be lumped in too. So I'm going to give you a history lesson first, and then I'm going to show you what's going on today has already happened. And because it's already happened, I know what's about to happen. So that's going to be the focus of the show today, to show you how the past is predicting the future, but it's some good news in that prediction that I'm giving you all. Because economically, it will be a rise in this country, economically. And I'll show you how to get to that as I walk through the history of what we know has happened and what I think is about to happen. I also want to take the time out to thank everybody who's purchased the book. If you haven't purchased the book, go Amazon and buy a book. I'm asking everybody to buy 5 books. That's what I'm asking you guys to buy. It's $11. I'm asking you guys to buy 5 books. It's something I want to do for you guys. So I need to sell, and I want the book to be a number one seller. So could you buy 5 books and then give them out? If you want to do eBooks, you can go to the website, thewbshow.com, thewbshow.com, and download the eBook right there. Also, the credit book is going to be available via ebook either tonight or tomorrow. I finished the book this weekend, even though quite candidly, 12 of my boys are here from Chicago. So it was a whole lot of librations going on and a whole lot of wild hours going on. But I do what I always do, even as a kid in college. I would go party all night, and then I would stay up all night and work. And that's exactly what I've been doing. I would party with them to 3 o'clock in the morning, and I would stay up, research, and write. So get the ebook from thewbshow.com, thewbshow.com. You can get the hard copy book to get 5 of them to pass out for me at amazon.com. Go get the book. I want to thank everybody. In fact, I'm doing something special for the first 100 books. So I know a bunch of y'all know Gary got a book and Ava got a book. And there's a bunch of y'all that already got a book already. So I'm going to do something for the first 100 people who buy the books. And then I forget this brother's name. I think the brother's name was Steve. He brought a book for somebody else. So I appreciate that too, Steve. Go get the book though, people. Amazon.com. It's a quick read. It's a short read. It's straight to the point. It ain't no fluff. But I think if you follow what's in the book, you have good relationships. You have good friendships. You have good relationships. You'll find the right person for you. All right. So let me go ahead and start off this history lesson. Now, I'm going to start from the point of after Reconstruction. See, I could take this all the way back. Literally, I could take this back to Africa. But I don't want to walk it all the way up like that. That's going to take too long. So just for time's sakes, I'm going to start right around the Reconstruction period. Now, the funny thing about history and about life in general, right? Perception becomes somebody's reality. Even though the reality may not be real, because of the perception, people believe it's real. This is why I laugh at all these folks who be posting stuff all on Instagram and Facebook and everything else. Like they got the greatest life in the world. It's because that's the perception they're trying to give people that that's their reality. Okay. Now, let me tell you something that I learned in law school that most people, you might Google this and find this out to be true for yourself. Most people who's telling a story or presenting some kind of history, when they're accurate in what they're doing, they move their hands. Even if you're somebody who don't move your hands when you talk normally, when you're telling a story that is accurate or you're providing information that's accurate, you tend to move your hands. It's almost like because your hands remember the story as the story is being reiterated. So when you go to Reconstruction, it was the end of coming out of slavery. We're going to Reconstruction for the first time in American history. You all should know this. We got to vote. We got to own land. We got to get educated. We got to do all these different things. Now, when you got to that point in time, if you would have asked a white person at that point in time, what did they think about black people? The response would have been, they're hardworking. They love America. They're family people. They believe in God. And they're doing just fine. That would have been the response. If you'd have lined up 10 white people, that'd have been the response of 8 out of 10 white people. Now, you always going to have that 2 that just, they ain't like black folks. They thought black folks should have been slaves forever, no matter what. Now, at this time of Reconstruction, something occurred that nobody thought would occur as they was letting black people assimilate into the culture. What occurred was this: black people came together, got a voice, and got a voting block. And by them having a voting block, they were able to literally control who was going to be running the country based on the needs and wants of African Americans. Now, the Southern Americans, those who were living in the South, did not want that. Their problem with black people wasn't that they were black. The problem that they had with black people, and these are the Democrats, these wasn't the Republicans, y'all, by the way. These were the Democrats. These were the Dixiecrats. Their issue was that this group of people all of a sudden had power. And it was an unforeseen power. Because they didn't think giving them the right to vote would change that much. But it changed everything in the country politically speaking. All right. Now, I'm up against a break. When we come back, I'm going to pick it up from there and show you how the decision they made at that moment in time is the reason we're where we're at this moment in time. I'll show you what I'm talking about when we come back. You listen to the WB.
I'm not saying that he doesn't like white people. I'm saying he has a problem. He has a, this guy is, I believe, a racist.
He is post-racial, by all appearances. You know, I forgot he was black tonight for an hour. We've already donated to Haiti. It's called the U.S. income tax.
It is as though we're still on a plantation.
Warren Valentine, the number one street fighter in America.
All right. So when we went to break, I was telling you guys, I said, look, what happened after Reconstruction was something that they didn't foresee. They didn't foresee black people being able to have a bloc that could vote, that could change an election. Once they realized this happened, the Southern Dixiecrats, the Southern Democrats, they was like, we can't have this happening again. We need to do something about this. And so what they did, which was ingenious in the South, was they created the Jim Crow laws. Now, let me tell you why this was ingenious. Because the easiest way to make you feel a certain way about a certain person, thing, or place is by the perception of it. Let me give you some examples of this, all right? One of the biggest perceptions that we have out here is that, quite frankly, it's more illegal people coming over the border in Mexico than anywhere else. That's not the reality. That's the perception. Because it's the perception that America has given us. The perception is all the terrorists come from the Middle East. But that's not the reality. It's been more white men to commit acts of terrorism on this soil than any other ethnic group. That's the reality. Whether you're talking about the tears, the Trail of Tears, whether you're talking about the Native American injuries, I'm not even Indians. I ain't even got to talk about slavery. I can just talk about what they've done to every other culture, even to themselves. I mean, whether you were Italian or German. See, one thing that people got to understand is that many ethnicities who came over here were discriminated against. Not just because they were of color, but because of religious beliefs, because they came from other countries. And see, what's happened is America has criminalized every ethnicity that's white to be white. But every ethnicity that looks white is not European white. You realize that, right? So they really, really have made it a perception thing, which then becomes what our reality becomes to us. This is what we believe it to be. And this is why I say the Jim Crow era was genius in this sense. They created these weak laws and incarcerated black people in record number. Now, we go to jail very disproportionately right now. But when Jim Crow was issued, we were getting almost 9 out of 10 black people were getting arrested when Jim Crow was going on in the South. All right. Why was this perception important? Because if we gave this perception of black people, the argument that we could legitimately make was that they were not ready to assimilate into this country with us. And if they're not ready to assimilate in this country with us, and we're not willing to put them back into chains and enslave them, then we need to be separate but equal. We need to be separate but equal. They can have all the rights But they can't live with us. And each state can give a test on voting. See, this is how the voting laws came in place. Y'all understand this, right? This is the whole reason the Voters' Rights Act is even on the bill today. Because what they did in the South was they argued state rights. They said, look, we're a state. We're independent. We're sovereign. We're a part of the United States, but these are our state laws, our constitutional laws. They got to pass a test to vote. And this is why you hear John Kanye's talking about how they had to guess how many bubbles was in the bar of soap. Right? See, this is the past. Now let me walk you up to the present. The present, rather. When you look at what's going on in Chicago, let me ask y'all something. What's the first thing you think of when you think about Chicago? What's the first thing you think of when you think of Chicago? You think crime, gangs, death, right? This is the perception Chicago has got. All these shootings, all these mass murders and everything else. This is the perception that Chicago has gotten. When Ben Wilson died in 1984 in Chicago, number one basketball player in America at the time, coming out of high school, Ben was the 548th person killed down in the streets of Chicago that year. Chicago only had 500-something shootings last year. They had 400-something shootings that where people died the year before that. But the perception of Chicago now is gangs, is death, is violence. Now, let me show you something else. When people see all this shooting and violence, what's the first thing you see? What's the first thing you think of when you see this violence in Chicago, right? Remember when Obama was in office and everybody's like, Obama from Chicago, why he not doing nothing? Somebody asking on social media today, where's the governor? Where's the mayor? What they doing? Somebody, why martial law hasn't been declared? Where's the Army Reserve? Where are they at? Why do you think none of that's happening? Why do you think none of this is occurring? And why do you think, let me even get deeper with y'all. Why do you think even candidate Trump, before he became President Trump, was focusing on Chicago? Let's really think about this. Why do you think nobody's doing that? Why do you think President Trump was fixated on Chicago? Because the powers that be understand this. If you can create the perception that Chicago is completely out of control, you can make a different reality in Chicago. Meaning that you can separate Chicago. This is, let me tell you what this is. Right now, Chicago is the test plan for the nation. Because if they can do it in a major city, imagine what they can do in smaller ones. See, I'm gonna really break this down for y'all and show y'all something today. But I needed y'all to understand that what I'm about to say can happen because it's already happened. You're listening to the WB.
There's so many young people dying in the streets, and education is a way to change that and opportunity. Mr. President, how do we emphasize this?
Well, look, the most important thing starts with parenting. Talking to young people constantly about the need to be focused on education. The second thing we've got to do is we've got to make sure we've got great teachers in the classroom.
What I want you to take seriously is what we have to do for the youth.
Carry on the struggle.
Warren Valentine, coast to coast and around the world.
Your child is my child. My child is your child. We should be looking out for each other's kids and working together to make sure that all these kids have a great opportunity, even if they come from a household that's not perfect.
Warren, I completely agree.
Join the truth fighters in full effect right now.
All right, so I'm asking you guys this as we went to the break. I asked the question, why do you think Chicago is the way it is? Why is anybody doing anything about it? And I said, look, this is the test run. Now, let me show you something, right? I'm going to show you examples of different things that I hope will make you understand what's going on, right? So every time the government wants to change something, the first thing they have to do is give a perception of one thing and then make the reality that they want to make. Let me give you a perfect example of this. Y'all remember when gas prices was $5, almost $6 a gallon? And if you went like California, Florida, it had to get up to almost $7-something a gallon. I mean, it's do you remember that? I remember that like it was yesterday. Because people were trying to get rid of their SUVs and everything else. I mean, it was like, hey, how did the gas jump up this price? Now, let me tell you what's so crazy about all this stuff to me, right? Nothing's changed in the world except man putting their prices on it. That's it. In 1994, I could get a gallon of gas for 99 cents. At the most, a dollar and a quarter. I mean, this is, look, they made the gas almost $7 a gallon and people were panicking, but they made the gas like that because they needed to raise prices everywhere else. So, because the gas was so high, the reality was they were able to create the reality of raising the price of your bread, your milk, and everything else. After they raised the prices of bread, milk, and everything else, what happened to the cost of gas? Went right back down. Right back down. Do you think if we really had that much of a gas shortage, it would have dropped, cut in half like that? I mean, think about it. We were paying almost $7 a gallon in some places. Now it's $3 a gallon again. I'm just saying. Let's look at Detroit. Let's look at Detroit. They let the city of Detroit go bankrupt, right? Got all those people off that property, all that good land. Look, them people of Detroit, you had downtown Detroit, you sitting on the river, sitting on a lake. You right across the street from Windsor, Canada. You look out your window, you see in Windsor, Canada. They got a boardwalk walkway down there. They got Bel-Air Park right there. All that great history and culture that was predominantly owned by the people from Detroit. All of it gone. And you know what happened? The rich and the Chinese came in there and bought all that land up quietly and just sat on it. They start buying that land. They develop in Detroit right now. In fact, downtown Detroit is growing at such a rate right now, they don't have enough living arrangements for people who want to live in downtown Detroit. Now, let me tell you what's crazy about this. And this is why I keep telling y'all all the stuff that we're even doing. You got to be patient. They brought this property starting back in 2007, 2008. It took them 9 years to get to this point. But guess what? They are making money hand over fist now, because that same property that they brought for $15,000 is selling for $300,000. See, this is all about giving a perception that Detroit was ran down and done and over with. Boom. Look, they did the same thing in South Beach in Miami in the 80s. See, this ain't nothing new, y'all. They ran down South Beach to the point where you could get a condo on South Beach for $100,000. You try to get that same condo today, you're talking about $5 million. This is nothing new. This is what they're doing in Chicago, but they're doing Chicago in a different sense. See, let me give you a theory that I got about Chicago. I don't think all these killings and death in Chicago is gang related. I think the government is helping on this a little bit. And see, part of the reason I think they're helping on this a little bit is because they know Chicago. Chicago is one of these cities, man, that if you can get in Chicago and redevelop it all around, it's a $1 trillion city. I mean, I think about 31st Street when I was growing up and all the projects was over there. And look at it now. I mean, they got a yacht club on 31st Street. I never would have thought that. That was more shocking to me than a black president, to be honest with you. It is so much going on. So much going on that we think we seeing something, but it's just a perception. It's not the reality. It's not the reality. All this that's going on in Chicago, y'all, is to literally separate the people. That's what this is about. If you don't believe me, look at what's going on in Michigan right now. Let me tell you what's happening in Michigan. I've been studying this because I'm like, why are they sitting on this money in Flint and not redeveloping this stuff? This don't make sense to me. They should be making a move. But then when I started researching it, I figured it out. I was like, oh, got it now. So this is the move they're doing in Michigan. Flint isn't, the people of Flint hasn't moved out quick enough for them. A lot of them folks is holding on and maintaining. So they realize we may not be able to get all of Flint. So now they're messing with the water in Kalamazoo and Parkwood and all these other places. If you keep putting this perception out here that Michigan got bad water in these areas, guess what happens to those areas? They dry up. Don't nobody want to live there. They're worried about their kids. Anybody who can afford to buy a house out there, they're not trying to live in them areas. They're trying to live somewhere else because they don't want to be around that water. They don't want to be around that environment. That property value shoots down even further. They go in, they buy up the whole little corner of Michigan right there. The whole little corner. The whole little corner. And the people who live there now get nothing. Get nothing. Because in the end, they end up leaving or end up selling for pennies on the dollar. Then they come in, they redevelop it, they'll make a big announcement. All the water is clean. All the things that I did are done. And then once they do that, look, let me tell you, even in my home city, Chicago, when they put a Whole Food in Inglewood, the first thing I told people, you need to buy some property in Inglewood because eventually they cleaning Inglewood up. They going to clean it up. And see, Inglewood is one of these areas in Chicago that it has a historic perspective, too. It's just like Inglewood is just like being on the west side of Chicago on Roosevelt to me. Roosevelt was one of these places that, when you go west on Roosevelt, you had all these stores that were black owned, that were hubbubs of the neighborhood where people would go get clothes and shoes and food and everything else. Well, Inglewood was like that. You go down Halsted, you go on 63rd and Halsted, you go shopping for school clothes down there. You had restaurants, you had all these things. You had the bus terminal right there. Took all of it away, all of it gone. Roosevelt the same way. Now those same areas on Roosevelt cost you $1 million to get over in them areas now. That's exactly what they're going to do in Inglewood in Chicago. And as long as you can create the perception that these Negroes are killing each other and they violent and they gang related, guess what? Even the black folk going to be like, yeah, y'all need to get rid of them Negroes. Y'all need to get rid of them. This is what happened. See, once you put the perception out here and you make it somebody's reality, even people who look like you start talking like them. Yeah, you know those Negroes out there killing each other. You know it's gang related. Get rid of all them Negroes. Get rid of all of them. I mean, really stop, y'all. Let's just be logical and not thinking for 1 second. Like I keep telling you, if it's 10,000 people in the neighborhood, how many people are really out here shooting, selling drugs, and killing people and knocking them over the head out of the 10,000 that live in that neighborhood? Maybe 500? You going to let this 500 control the whole neighborhood? I'm just saying. All right. We come back. Let's talk about some solutions. Not just for Chicago, but for all of us. Let's not complain. Let's change. You listen to the WB.
Welcome back to the Warren Valentine Show. Heard coast to coast and border to border, giving the truth fighters a voice in the call for justice.
All right. Man, I'm telling you, I love y'all. I really do. I've been telling folks about Wild Irish and Sprite. Man, look, my man Daniel said he made some. He was drinking this weekend. He said his wife thought she was drinking rosé. I told you, it tastes like rosé. You put the Sprite in and get a little pink, get the bubbles. You can do it with ginger ale. Miss Nikki just said her husband wasn't drinking nothing but beer. Now he hooked on it. Look, I'm trying to help y'all out. Miss Nikki, you had a good weekend too with your man, didn't you? And Daniel, you had a little bit of extra something going on this weekend, didn't you? That's all. I'm just trying to help y'all out. We family. That's what family does. We take care of one another. La familia. You my la familia. Y'all my people. Now, let me get back to solutions now. All right. When we look at Chicago, when we look at the state of what's going on in this country, and we see these things occurring, we have to look at this. Have any of you, I like watching stuff that is going to make me think, but also is going to educate me at the same time. That's what I kind of like watching on television. So I haven't seen it on television, but I've seen it via YouTube because of my child, because my child doesn't watch TV. In fact, she was like, I don't even want TV in my room. Take the TV out. I'm like, girl, what? She's like, I don't want a TV in my room. She's like, you can take the TV out. I don't want a TV. But she showed me this show, and I kind of binge watched it because once I saw the first episode, I was like, man, this is a good show. Have y'all seen this show, One Strange Rock, with Will Smith narrating it? Have y'all checked that out? Well, if you haven't, check it out, because one of the things that it's about a group of astronauts and about all this life and everything on the planet Earth, and them being off of the planet Earth and being able to look down on the planet Earth. And so one of the things that I took away from this show was how your perception of life can change if you step back and look at things in a totality instead of in just in the moment of what you're looking at. Now, let me kind of explain this. What's the solution for Black America? What's the solution for poverty in this country? What's the solution to eradicate all this division between people who live in the same nation? That's really the three questions. That's really the three questions that can change humanity as we know it in this country. And see, one of the things that they talk about as they are up in space, they said they realize that it is no borders. They realize that this is mostly water. It's not even really a lot of land mass for us to be able to manipulate and move on. And so as I was watching that and I was thinking about humanity, that's one of the things, well, these three things popped in my head. You know, how do we stop poverty? How do we stop division? And how do we fix what's going on in the Black community? And when I really step back and look at it from a view from space, it's really amazing what we could do if we decided to do it. Just a question, if we decided to do it. Now, let me make two arguments here, and then I'll finish this at the beginning of the next hour. First argument. For all my white listeners who may think, well, you don't want to be around Mexicans and Blacks and other people. Maybe you just feel that way. Let me say this to you. prior to you having to live around blacks and Mexicans and everything else, you do realize y'all were fighting and killing each other. You were. Whether you go over to Europe and go into Scotland and Ireland, or if you go down to Australia, if you go into Europe itself, if you know your history, you were literally cutting each other's throats. You were eating each other. You were literally fighting your whole lives with each other. In fact, you know, to be honest with you, you need to be thanking the Moors, because if the Moors had not come to Europe, who knows what the culture of Europe would even be to this day? Because that's why the saying "Thank heaven for 7-Eleven." Thank heaven for 7-Eleven was the Moors coming into Europe, teaching culture. So I want you to understand that even if you by yourself, with no other ethnic races around you, you still gonna have the same issue, the same problem. Black people, same thing. Even if every racist person in this country left, we still would be fighting amongst each other. We still would be fighting and killing amongst each other. Look, if you don't believe me, just do it on a micro level and look at your family. Your family is your blood. You still fighting with each other. Because, look, the truth of the matter, I was telling Tony this morning. The truth of the matter is everybody got that knucklehead in their family that can't do right off of life. Just, you know, he or she ain't never done right from the beginning. Since you were kids, they couldn't do right. See, this is the thing. You got to understand that this is way bigger than we're looking at it at. We keep looking at it like it's race. But it has nothing to do with race, y'all. So when we come back at the top of the hour, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you the solutions that need to occur. Now, some of you are going to disagree with this. That's fine. Because to me, the more of us talking about it, the better the solutions end up being. Nobody has the right or wrong answer. There's no answer that's right or wrong. It's just listening and trying to figure out which one would work, really, to be honest with you. That's what it's really about. But I just want to start off by saying, look, even if we were all separate, we still would be fighting amongst each other. So let's look at it from a different perspective. We come back, top of the hour, we'll address that. You listen to WB.